Happy Wednesday, everybody. We hope that you're having a great week, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to answer your listener questions, including a question from listener David about some great Disney books to enjoy over the summer. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to a mere 26 days to go until we check into Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter Resort before the podcast cruise, and I get excited every time I check out my iPhone 7. I see great pictures. Right now, I'm looking at a picture of the Magic Kingdom of Cinderella Castle there. There's pictures from all the parks and resorts. You can also load in your own pictures as well from past vacations to get you excited for that next trip. So have it right there, the device that's always in your hand, that iPhone. Make it a Disney device and get excited for that next trip with virtualmickey.com. Download Days to Go WDW today. Again, over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1181 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And happy Wednesday! And hello to everybody who's tuned in live with us here today on BeLive.tv. We're trying something a little bit new, but if you're listening to the audio podcast here on a Wednesday, nothing different, hopefully, for you, but just another way to make the show a little bit more interactive. And the way you can participate is just to join our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and we'll let you know when we go live and, have some fun as we talk Disney here three times a week. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, cruise documents are arriving now. I'm so excited.
They are in my hand. I have them right here. They're so beautiful and blue and yellow and gold and gray because I'm silver. Oh, it's so nice to have. It's so pretty. So pretty.
It starts to make it real, doesn't
smells
it?
Smells like a cruise.
What?
Although I could go a little bit more for, the ocean breeze instead of paper, but that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, mine does smell a little bit different than the last podcast cruise. Oh, it's the fantasy.
Yeah,
it smells like the fantasy.
Ah, it does smell like the fantasy. That's true. Uh-huh. That's true. It smells fantastically fantasy.
Yes, yeah. It does. I can't wait.
That was dumb.
Sorry. Let's see. That's cruising. We're cruising exactly 1 month and 1 day from today when this podcast comes out.
Sure I have those days off. It's probably a good call.
Either that or quit your job. One of the two, because you've already paid enough for this cruise. You got to quit. You're committed.
The job. I do. Yes. See you later. I'm out of here. I already paid for the cruise. It's fine.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less, Pam Forrester, who's been working hard with Disney Cruise Line to make this the most amazing podcast cruise ever. We thank you already, Pam. How's it going on this fine Wednesday?
It is going great. And I just wanted to mention that when I was down in Walt Disney World last week or the week before, whenever the heck I was there, I got a little note from my mom. And she says she couldn't wait until you, Mike Rallman, were down there so that she could see more pictures. So
yes.
Apparently that was a little backhanded.
Pam was not sending enough pictures.
Apparently, I didn't post enough pictures. She was like, I can't wait till Mike Rallman's down there, so then I can see all about the trip.
And
I
was exactly.
Like,
I know.
So you're so saying I don't post enough? And she's like, well, you don't post nearly as much as Mike does.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing, like my little thumb lifts, getting ready,
yes.
Because we're under a month. So I'm doing, I do like 70 push-ups a morning, but just with my thumbs to get them
right.
Ready. And, if you're not tweeting, you're not living. That's what I say on a Disney vacation. So
So anyways, yes, my mom's a fan, I will just say, of yours. Yeah. Not of mine.
I love to hear that.
Not a pimps. Yeah, not a pimps.
All right, well, let's get to the questions. Again, you can send those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com, and we'll get to those right away. Just we're going to start off with the question from David that we teased at the top of the show in the ad read. He says, Mike, been listening to the podcast for a few years and definitely enjoy the show types. And even though you are a Cardinals fan, he's a Cubs fan. I can't believe I even took this question after last weekend. This just shows how open-minded I am, but it's okay. I know, it's terrible. Anyway, on your recommendation, I found a copy of The Wisdom of Walt at my public library, and they actually had to hunt it down from another library about 100 miles away, but I was able to check it out. I read it in about 2 weeks. I had a hard time putting it down. Was wondering what other books you recommend about Walt or Walt Disney World. All right, so I thought this was a good question because summer is kicking off, and it is really, truly a great time to pick up a book. You know, if you're going to the pool, you know, you're laying out, just enjoying a book here and there, and just kind of leisurely working your way through some books. You know, I know you listen to podcasts and all that kind of stuff. But Pam, what books have you ever read about Walt Disney himself or Walt Disney World that maybe people would like to check out over the summer?
So I have read so many. I'm having trouble thinking of one. But no, I read Walt Disney, The Triumph of the American Imagination, which I thought was very interesting. Kind of talked a lot about Walt and how he got where he did and things like that. There's also a thick, you know, a book about Walt Disney.
Is that I think it's called Neil Gaiman, the big one that they always
Gabler.
Yeah, the big one. Yep.
I was trying to think, there was another one I had read about that. I did a lot of like The Nine Old Men. I thought that was really interesting. I love the books that really kind of explain the Disney philosophy or, you know, other things like that about Disney and leadership. Lee Cockerell used to work for the Disney company and he has a few books out, and I really respect Lee and a lot of the things that he's written about and has really helped me on my journey, my leadership journey as our team continues to grow. This was certainly not what I went to school for. I think a good leader knows when she's in over her head. That I really appreciate that. And I love just the history of Disneyland and Walt Disney World. I have a book called The Nickel Tour that is basically a book that outlines the history of Disneyland by examining the postcards that were available at that time. I think it's out of print and it may be awesomely expensive at this point, so don't spend that on it. But if you happen to find a copy of it, I think it's worth looking at, because that's just a really, I think, a really pure examination of Disneyland, right? By looking at the postcards. No one created postcards and thinking, well, someday someone's going to want to know about the history of Disneyland, right? There's good postcards, there's bad postcards, there's postcards with mistakes. I think that it's just a very pure telling about that time. And I love, you know, we have this little quotable Walt Disney, and it's still available. It's a small book, but it has lots of little quotes from Walt Disney in there. And I think every now and then I'll just, like, you know, kind of thumb through and find another one, that find a quote that might be inspiring or something like that. I mean, Walt said and did some very inspiring things. He was not perfect, and there were things to learn from him, both good and bad, both how to do things and how not to do things. So love books like that.
You know, I think the thing about Disney is, if you're a Disney fan, there's so many different, like you said, aspects of the company and of Walt Disney himself that you can dive into a book. Like The Wisdom of Walt, you know, I know they're a sponsor, but Jeff Barnes did such a great job with that book because it teaches you about Walt, but also his philosophy, and then ties it into how you can take, you know, Walt's lessons and apply those to your, you know, your day tomorrow when it's your interactions with your kids or with your employer or, you know, those around you to become a more cohesive team. I love that stuff. But you can also dive into the parks. You could dive into Marceline. You could dive into the movies. Like you said, the art of Disney, postcards. That's perfect because it's a snapshot of a place and a time, you know, and now that you get to, like, retrospectively look back at it, That's neat. Like, one of the books I enjoy, and I still do, and I got this years and years ago out of a bargain bin at the grocery store, was called Since the World Began. And it was kind of a coffee table book that was from the 25th anniversary of Walt Disney World. And it finishes like with kind of talking about the future, and the future was going to be the Disney Cruise Line and Celebration and stuff like that. So those were still on the drawing boards at the point that book was being published. But it's just fun to look back and see pictures of, how it was Dixie Landings back then, Riverside, and how things have changed over the years. But it's still stuff that you visit, you see the contemporary and stuff like that. So I love those kind of things. I'm a theme park guy. So what about you, Ricky? I mean, I know that, if you want to be a good writer, you have to be a voracious reader. So I know you read a lot when it comes to stuff like that.
I do. The problem is that I don't have a lot of time to actually sit down and read, which is the hardest part about everything that I love to do, because I love reading books. But I do have a few that are pretty interesting. The first is, I always was very interested in Disney War. I think because that's about the time that I got involved in the Disney community. And so I was still very new with everything. And I think it would be interesting reading back now, because like I have more of a perspective. I know a little bit more about the history of Disney. So at the time it was very interesting to read it, but now I think it would be even more interesting looking back at how everything, went, throughout that whole situation with Michael Eisner. And I think actually, I really hope that, when Bob Iger retires, I really hope that he or someone, I'm sure, will write a book kind of about his tenure as well, because I think that would be very interesting to read. I think like those type of books are really interesting. There's also a book, it's on my like list of books that I would like to read, because I, again, have like just a ton of books that I really like am terrible about reading, but I really, really, really want to do. And that's Universal versus Disney. It's written by Sam Genoway. And it's like the history of things is really what gets me, because like I said, I've been around the Disney community for a while now, and I've been a fan of Walt Disney World and Universal for a while. So like these history things are really intriguing to me. And the Universal versus Disney book, the reason why I really want to pick this one up is because it's really the history of how the two titans clash and how they come together and how, how they both came about. Because, obviously Universal created their theme park, and of course Disney then was like, no, wait, we're going to do a studio theme park too. So like the whole history of how all that happened is very intriguing to me. So that's another book that I do want to pick up, and I haven't done, and maybe I'll do that before the cruise, actually. The last book that I'm going to suggest, and this is sort of this is a book that, I really think that people should read, and that's because it has a relation to Give Kids the World, and that is the book by Henry Landworth, and it's called Gift of Life. Yep. I really think that anybody, you should definitely read that book, especially because that's such an integral part of the Be Our Guest podcast and our charity work. So I definitely think that that's a book that people should pick up as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I was given that one. The Griffiths handed me that book and gifted that to me. And I just treasure that, because that's really a special thing to me. So I have that right here on the shelf over the other way there. Mm-hmm. Wrapping this one up, Melissa in the chat says The Thinking Fan's Guide to the Magic Kingdom. And there's an Epcot one as well. She says they're incredible. The author goes through the park one attraction at a time, and at the end of each attraction gives a film recommendation to give you context about the ride or where the Disney company was at that time. So there you go. We love our listeners. You guys, I love this. Mm-hmm. And this is really helping us out. All right, time for the next question. It's from Michelle. She's up in Alexander, New York. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We're going to be in the world starting a few days before New Year's. We were interested in eating at Ohana's or California Grill, not on New Year's Eve, but on the 29th or the 30th. And we're wondering if either of these restaurants have any special events during that time so that we would not be able to go to the restaurants for a normal dinner. Michelle. All right, Pam. So not on New Year's Eve, because I know that a lot of places do special stuff on New Year's Eve. But what about the 29th and the 30th? Is it still business as usual?
Yeah, you should be fine then. The issue really is with New Year's Eve, a lot of restaurants have either a prefix menu or a special menu that you have to purchase. So keep that in mind. The thing that will probably be in play is any discounts will probably be blacked out, even leading up to it. Typically not the 29th, but like the 30th, the 31st, and the 1st. Disney does a good job of blacking all those out for all the discounts. But other than that, you know, go and enjoy and have a good time and make sure that there is not just not for Ohana in particular, but like for many of the character meals, you'll be at that higher price point too, because you'll be during holiday time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There will be a holiday surcharge likely, especially if you go on the 31st. But I think if I remember correctly, if you go to the California Grill on the 30th, you should be able to see, well, depending on when it, what time, you might be able to see the fireworks, which I think they usually shoot off the New Year's Eve fireworks that night. So, the night before on the 30th as well. So I'm not sure, you know, if they're shooting them off at midnight or if it's, you know, because obviously they haven't released the times for everything yet. And, you know, it's Disney, so things will change up until like the, you know, week before. You know, that's something to consider as well.
All right, let's get to Andrew's question. He says, hi, all at the Be Our Guest podcast. A question from over the pond in the UK in Liverpool. We're staying at Coronado Springs with dining. We get a resort mug for refilling up. Now, I like my coffee, but not from a plastic mug. If I'm having lunch at the Pepper Market and fill up my mug with coffee, then put it in a normal coffee cup, will they mind? All right, so Ricky, so I think what he wants to do is use his mug to get his, you know, because that's a refillable mug you get with the Disney dining plan, fill it up with coffee, then transfer it in, I'm guessing, to a ceramic mug over at the Pepper Market. Any issues do you foresee? Anything?
I don't see why it would be an issue. I mean, as long as you're not going back from, you know, I mean, I don't see an issue. I think you're fine. Don't take the ceramic mug over there.
I know, that's the one thing, is I think that if they thought you refilled the ceramic mug, they might think you're trying to get away with something. But
my thought is, where are you going to get the ceramic mug from?
Right. I mean, unless he's talking about using like a paper cup, you know, like a paper cup with like, you know, the like a Starbucks type cup. You know what I'm saying? Like that type. Like, you know, Disney has those around. I mean, you might be able to use that. So, but I don't know if he has issues drinking out of something like that. So.
Yeah, I think you're totally fine on that one. So, I'd say go ahead and do that. Right. All right. Next question comes from Michaela. It says, hey, Mike, love the podcast. I was wondering if you or the crew had ever been or considered going to one of the Disney resorts outside of the United States. I know the podcast focuses on Walt Disney World, but the resorts outside of the United States have a lot of unique experiences to offer and aren't bound by some of the same constraints as the U.S. parks. Thanks, Michaela. All right, so none of us have been outside the United States, correct? I know I haven't. Pam, have you?
Mm-mm. I have, yeah.
Oh, Fran, you've been to Paris? Or is that the
area? I've done Disneyland Paris, right.
Okay, so you have. So let's just do this. If you could go to one Disney destination outside of the United States, I guess mine would still have to be Tokyo Disney Sea, just from what I've heard about it, read about it, seen. Mm-hmm. That would probably be my destination. What about you, Pam?
That's really what I feel too. I mean, the thing that has prevented us from doing that up until this point has been the plane ride. The thought of it that long, you know, has really been the thing that has stopped us. So I don't know if it will happen or not. Maybe I need to get myself to Hawaii, and then from Hawaii to there, it wouldn't be such
there
a bad
thing.
Of course, I would need to take like 2 months off for all this to happen. But anyways, I really enjoyed Disneyland Paris. I thought it was interesting how similar it felt and at the same time, very different and odd and just really unique. So I agree. I think there's lots of, you know, cool reasons to visit a park outside the U.S.
I agree. What about you, Ricky? Where would you go if you got the opportunity just to, you know, here, this is, you know, you won the Year of a Million Dreams. You get to go to a foreign Disney destination.
Oh, hands down, Tokyo. That's it. I mean, that's my dream. Like, I can't wait. I will get to Tokyo at some point. I don't know when. I don't know how. But it will happen.
Something is starting right now, hopefully. Yeah.
I know. I feel like there's a song in there. I'm definitely going to Tokyo at some point. I just, you know, it's not in the cards yet, but it will happen at some point. I will make sure it happens. So I don't know if Brian's going with me, but I'm going. So
we'll have to tell him later. See. Hopefully he's not listening to this one right away. All right. Next
question. He'll listen to it at some point. I know
exactly.
That. Cause he comes back at me going, you said this. And I'm like, oh,
I had nothing to do with it, Brian. All right. Next question comes from Melanie. She says, we got a faithful listener here from Indiana. My husband is a wedding photographer, and last year we went to Disneyland during October so he could shoot a wedding. Ever since, I've been dying to take our daughter to the Disney World Halloween party. This October, we're headed to Saratoga Springs for 3 nights only to make sure she can go to the Halloween party. Those are good parents. We'll arrive Monday and check in. Halloween party's Tuesday, then leave Thursday morning. We don't plan on going inside the parks beyond the Halloween party. Our daughter will be there when we go, or will be three when we go. So, two questions regarding ADRs. Number one, what awesome dining experience would you suggest that are outside of the parks with great food, but appropriate for our daughter? Okay, so they're only going into the parks for the Halloween party, which that's going to still be a fun trip staying at Saratoga Springs. You're right next to Disney Springs. That's Springs Corner. I didn't realize that they both end in Springs. How did I not know that till now? I just didn't think about it. So anyway, you know, for a three-year-old, where could you dine excluding going into a theme park because they're not going to buy Magic Your Way tickets? Ricky, what do you say for somewhere to go that's fun to have that Disney experience outside the parks?
I think that, a lot of the Disney Springs restaurants would be great. We just were talking about homecoming. We ate there. It was fantastic. If you wanted to do something quick, table service, that would be, a good option. If you want to do something kind of quick service-y or whatever, I'm a big fan of Blaze. I think that they have great pizza there, and it can be customizable, and you can do multiple options on a pizza. So if you wanted to split something or something like that, you could easily do that. So those are my two quick options.
Those are good choices. I'm trying to think, though, something that's more of like an event. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are both good options food-wise. But for a three-year-old, homecoming, I mean, that's great for me.
I like the suggestion in the chat, hello, of Chef Mickey's. I think that's a good
one. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's some good options in terms of character meals outside of that. Chef Mickey's is one. But I was also thinking even like a place like Ohana has great options for kids. They have, all the coconut races and all the other kids' activities. 1900 Park Fair is another great character meal. The stepsisters are fantastic.
Oh, they're so fun. Yes.
So good. So if your child would respond to that well, a little, they're not scary in the least, but they're sassy.
No. They are definitely sassy. Yes.
So that's a good thing too. And I think, first of all, just about any restaurant or property is going to be more than fine for a three-year-old. So go and enjoy. Don't worry about that. Pick one that has food or an experience that you think you'll enjoy and go and have fun.
Absolutely. And it can Ohana be done, too.
I was going to say, Ohana for breakfast is a good choice, too, because they do have characters at breakfast as well.
And that's so really that's good food. Mallory asked if we could have that in July. Like, she's like, she wasn't just talking about Lilo and Stitch and Pluto and Mickey and stuff. She was talking about the food, which she said it was kind of interesting. Because she's getting ready. She's a new blogger now, Ricky. She's a Disney blogger.
Yes, so she's adorable.
Yeah, we're working on a blog post to come out in the next couple days. But what we're talking about was meals kids would like. And she talked about the reason she likes Ohana breakfast is that she says it's like a buffet, like a character buffet like Chef Mickey's, but it comes to you. Because it comes to your table family style. So she picked up on that. So I was pretty excited. It rubs off, I guess. And we got some great suggestions. Kate May from Holly Carter in the chat. Joanne also echoed over at the Grand Floridian, one of the character meals. Also Whispering Canyon at the Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, yeah. You got the pony races. I forgot about those. Those are fun.
Those are fun. All right, second question. And again, help us out on Facebook. We're loving your help tonight. It's really helping. What are can't-miss dining experiences / restaurants in Disney Springs appropriate for a two-year-old? Thanks for any tips you'd suggest for the Disney magic. So you kind of addressed that already, Ricky.
Yeah, I did.
But is there, excluding dining, like what for like a three-year-old girl is not to be missed at Disney Springs? Because it is kind of more of an adult destination.
It is. I think that at any age, I mean, either boy or girl would love going to the Lego store and building, like, because you could just go there and build, like, with the Legos. I think that would be fun. Because I think I would go there and play with the Legos, but that's just me.
Okay.
But they also have they also have like pop jets, areas with like the water fountains that spray up and stuff like that, which can be fun. So make sure you bring a bathing suit over there.
Yeah, because
you'll have one very wet little toddler. So
no, that's so true. You always got to have that change of clothes, because if any kid, see, even in October, because it's still warm, but it's hot in Florida usually in October. I've run those races in November and died of the heat. But yeah, like if one kid sees those kids playing in the pop jets over by Earl of Sandwich, your kid's in it. Like you can't even corral them fast enough. Boom, they're in there, you know. So
yep, the same thing goes with, there are a couple of carnival-y type rides over there too. There's a carousel and there's a train. Those do cost money, so just keep that in mind. But that may be an option if you're not going to the parks. That could be.
Yeah, not for my child. That was never an option. Tell you. I don't care if it costs $1 or whatever. You'd be over there in hand and be like, I want to ride that. And I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
you have four theme parks available to you. You're not getting on that little carousel. So yes, I'm that mean parent, but she like knew that like I wasn't going to budge on that. So she didn't really push too hard, but that's, I was like, funny. No, not happening.
That's right. You have all these rides at your disposal. You have an annual pass. You are not paying $5 to go on that little train, to go on a figure
eight.
That's
basically it. I mean, and that's like, these are things that I draw a hard line on. Like I just do, I know, but I'm like, nope, not doing it. So.
That's it. All right. Carolyn Gibbs in the Facebook Live chat saying, don't forget you got Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in Disney Springs. A fun, unique experience. Very costly. I've been.
Lots of shopping, too. I mean, my gosh. By three, Hannah was really a professed shopper. So
that's so scary. Such a consumer society we are. That's awesome.
They want what they want.
They do. They do. Boy, if you can't find something in World of, you know what though? It's like if you take a 3-year-old in World of Disney, they're not going to come out of there without crying. It's nope. Not going to happen.
No, but that's true of most activities.
I was going to say, adults don't want to, they're not crying. Cause they've spent too much on their credit card. Yeah. So
give them a budget, give them a little gift card with a set amount on it and be like, this is what you've got. When it's gone, it's gone.
I need the Big Stitch. You've got a Big Stitch. No, I need the one that's the size of my dad.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, Emily's got the next question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I recently discovered your podcast, and I'm so glad I did. Yours is my favorite Disney podcast because you're so fun and positive. My boyfriend and I are traveling to Disney World for a 7-night, 6-day trip on October 28th through November 4th and staying at Port Orleans Riverside. I go to Disneyland typically once a year, but this is my first time to Disney World in 8 years, and it will be my boyfriend's first visit since he was a small child. We're going to the Magic Kingdom on October 31st for the day and then going back to the Magic Kingdom on November 1st for the Halloween party. I decided to do it that way since we'll have the opportunity to be at the Magic Kingdom at night on November 1st. And I read that Magic Kingdom is less busy on Halloween party days because people that are not going to the party will avoid that park due to the early closure. I hope that I'm not wrong in that strategy. I've already booked all my ADRs. Here are my questions. She has two. I have breakfast booked at Be Our Guest at 8:25. Is that reservation time early enough to get the benefit of the pre-opening ADR, getting ahead of the rope drop crowds? That was the earliest I was able to get. All right, Ricky, so is she at 8:25, ADR for Be Our Guest, is she going to be ahead of the crowds or is she going to be fighting them when she gets out of there? Because the thing is, I just don't want to rush through a meal like Be Our Guest. It's such a special place.
Right, exactly. That's kind of my fear for her as well. Like, she'll be so preoccupied that, you know, she beats everybody that she won't enjoy the meal. So, I mean, I guess you really have to prioritize, you know, what's kind of more important to you. Is it the meal, the fact that you actually get to eat and be our guest? Or is it beating everybody and their brother? It depends on what she's also wanting to beat the crowds
for.
Yeah,
what are you trying to, that's what I was going to say. What are you trying to beat the crowds for? And I think too, because they have that modified opening,
right,
still that they let everyone in at, if the park opens at 9, everyone comes in at 8.
That's kind of what I was questioning too. So yeah, I mean, I don't think you're beating anybody at this point now, but I don't know.
But here's what I would do. I would enjoy the breakfast to be our guest because that's a great ADR to get. It's a great start to a Magic Kingdom day. It gets you in the right mindset of where you are. You know, you are in this fantasy land. You're going to have an awesome day. But the thing is, just keep in your mind, you're ahead of 95% of the people that are going to go to the Magic Kingdom that day anyway. You're still way ahead of the crowd.
By getting up, you are.
Yes.
If you get there before 10, You are ahead of the crowds for sure.
As someone who gets there after 10, I can attest to that statement. I will say Pam got me up early. I was up early on most of the days that I was with Pam.
Yeah, Ricky's not even ready to hit the snooze button for 2 more hours, and you're sitting there in your second course at Be Our Guest. So
correct.
Look at it
that way. Is correct. Yes. So you're
fine. Ricky right. Makes me sound mean.
She does.
Yeah, no. She was pouring cold water on my head. Don't
no.
even.
No.
Shaving
I set
cream.
The ex- listen to me. I set the expectation of how things are going to go the night before.
She did too. And
I'm like, here's what we're doing.
And I had to be there. And
that's it.
People know I mean business.
I wish you had business.
All right, let's get to her second question. She says, I've read that attraction lines tend to be pretty short during a Halloween party. We do plan on doing the later shows, but we're actually more interested in the party for the Halloween decorations and chance to be in the park when the crowds are low for attractions. In your experience, what can we expect for average wait times? Thank you for the great podcast. I've already learned so many helpful tips. Emily is up in, where Ed's from, Seattle, Washington. All right, so Pam, what would you say? Because, you know, our advice has always been, but we're in a different situation. We usually go down and we're in the parks a lot to really enjoy the Halloween party for the parade, the fireworks, the trick-or-treating, you know, the stuff you can't do on a normal day. But they're kind of going about it the opposite direction. So what would you say for somebody that really wants to knock out attractions during a party? What are you thinking?
I mean, I think it's really hard to even guesstimate in terms of any kind of queue, you know, length of time. Are they going during the party, or I thought they were going in, you know, the day before or into the park before the party?
Ooh, I deleted it, but I think they're going to the party the next day. Okay. Yeah, but like, maybe they're doing the whole day though. But let's just say during the party, because it sounds like she's wanting to know what the attraction lines will be like during the party itself.
So during the earlier parts of the party, they will definitely be longer than as the night goes on. I mean, so that's the thing to think about. You know, if you're looking for the lower lines, you're going to want to stay until the very end and hit all those big attractions during that time. Or during the parades is another thing. Although I would hate to see you miss that parade just to experience some attractions. I'm just going to say this. As much as we all enjoy the Disney attractions, I think we also would all encourage you to make sure that you see the parade and fireworks, because those are really what makes the party so special, are those things like that. So maybe you can catch the early parade and then the fireworks and then, you know, hit some of your attractions then. Also make sure that you do your trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Ricky gets the Halloween candy that she gives away at her house.
It is.
It's true. I do. I get all the stuff that I won't eat, and I'm like, kids, me. And that's how I get my candy. So,
I mean, come on. She pays $100.
I do.
She walks out of there with $200 worth of candy.
I do.
So, anyways. But, you know, just... You know, I think really enjoy your time there, because I think it's a really cool party and just a really cool event to be at.
Yeah,
I agree. So, Ricky, what would your strategy be? Because it is different during the Halloween party, because you're not running fast passes. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's got an equal chance. Now, I will say, sure. Somebody mentioned in the chat, I missed it here a few minutes ago, Carolyn again. She said about Haunted Mansion going to have that long line. Pirates tends to have a long line during the party. Because sometimes they do big fog. It makes a really cool picture over in Adventureland by Pirates. Like, we got a really good one with our podcast group like 5 or 6 years ago. It's one of my favorite ever pictures. But, you know, Josh said he only waited 10 to 15 minutes for Seven Dwarves during one of the parties. It was during the second parade. But, again, you want to see that stuff.
It's so hard.
It is hard to predict, especially on the day after Halloween. I mean, it is going to be a little bit less because people are not as in the Halloween spirit the day after Halloween. But I think that on average, you could probably expect maybe for the big attractions, maybe 30 minutes, 45 at the most. I mean, that would be what I would expect. you know, on average, the some of the smaller attractions, you might get 15, 20 minutes as your standard wait time. But again, that's just a guesstimate based off of, you know, what I kind of remember from experiencing in the past. Of course, the last time I went to the Halloween party, at this point, it's been a while. It was before my Magic Plus and Fast Pass Plus was enacted. So, I mean, I guess, you know, I did it with Fast Pass and that didn't really make much of a difference. But, you know, I think that it's probably about 15, 20 minutes on average for like some of the smaller attractions and then about maybe 30 to 45 minutes for some of the larger ones. You know, and as the night wears on, it'll get a little bit less.
I think where you really hit your... if you want to ride the attractions, it's that last hour, because I think a lot of folks watch the fireworks, and if you have kids, they're just kind of done by then. And so, if you can stake out a spot for that second parade, that's why it's key. If you want to see the parade, watch it back in Frontierland. That crowd is half of what it is for the first parade, because families with kids are just, you know, they're like, they're not going to fight it anymore after 10:30.
But no, they're cutting out.
I wish the party went to like 1 or 2. Because the thing is, at 11, you really start hitting your stride. People start heading out. But if, you know, the party's over at 12. So, like, if you had, like, till 1, you could really maximize.
Right.
You could probably get 5, 6, 7 attractions in that 12 to 1 window, if it was there, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, let's get to the last question today. It comes from Val. Hello, I listen to the podcast to increase my Disney knowledge and thoroughly enjoy your podcast. Since you are involved in running, I thought you would know how best to plan my November 1 through 5 trip. This is a special solo trip for me, a gift from my mom as a thank you for helping take care of my special needs older brother. I'm staying at Port Orleans French Quarter. I'm an annual pass holder this year. Before I personalize some touring plans, I want to know which parks to avoid on race mornings. I heard traffic is terrible on those mornings, and I might be better off touring a resort or sleeping in. I plan on November 1st as a Magic Kingdom afternoon and will buy a ticket for the Halloween party and will most likely stay through the end of the party. November 2nd is my Animal Kingdom Day and Yeehaw Bob Night show. Friday, November 3rd was an Epcot Day and Star Wars dessert party evening, and November 4th was Hollywood Studios Day and some fancy dinner somewhere. And Sunday, November 5th is checkout and a 10:30 brunch at the Wave, followed by a short afternoon break in the Magic Kingdom before driving home for 3 hours. Question is, should I avoid the parks and road travel on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Your advice is appreciated. Thanks, Val. So I thought this was an interesting one because she's going to be there over the Wine and Dine half marathon weekend. And these things hold true for most of the Run Disney weekends, especially marathon weekend in January. You got Dark Side, you got Princess. You know, you got to consider these things because, yes, you're right, Val, there is going to be an impact to travel. But the thing is, I'm a runner, so I'm out there on the roads. I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I get on a bus and I don't ever see the traffic because they close the roads for the runners and I'm out there doing this. You guys are dealing with getting around from point to point trying to see us. So what advice would you give somebody in general when it comes to a Run Disney race weekend? If you're not running, you're just down there for a vacation, but you're trying to think about the logistics of getting from point to point to point.
So especially on the marathon days, I'm going to, and I'll encourage you to do this for all of the days, but especially on the marathon days, use Disney transportation, because getting around via a car, at least early in the morning, can be a little bit challenging, especially if you're not familiar with the area. But the Disney has worked it out so that their bus drivers know exactly where they're going and they have alternate routes. Although it may take a little longer, it actually doesn't impact things quite that much because they do have these alternate routes and backstage routes available for their bus drivers to really use. So that's, first of all, my first bit of advice. Secondly, it tends to be, at least we've found, that at least for a period of time, maybe in the late morning, early afternoon, the parks seem a little more full because sometimes runners are getting done with the race and then heading into the park to get photos or whatnot. By the evening, that tends to clear out some because a lot of people are going to bed early to rest up for the races and things like that. So that's a bit of advice there. But I definitely would not avoid the parks in the morning. I mean, we've had no problem, you know, being or getting to the parks as long as we were on Disney transportation. And if you're doing that, then I think you should be fine.
I agree with 100% of what you're saying. Ricky, what any final thoughts to echo what Pam said? I think that's exactly right.
I mean, absolutely. If she's exceptionally worried about it, I mean, you would probably want to avoid Epcot, since that's where most of, you know, a lot of it all takes place. So I would maybe avoid Epcot, like, the big race day. So that would be Sunday. But I mean, you know, really it's not terrible as long as you're taking Disney transportation. They'll get you there.
Absolutely.
Promise.
They do it all the time. And the thing is, they've got a really good system down because they've been doing this now for, well, I think this is what, the 20th anniversary in January of the, no, it was the 20th for the half this time. So yeah, they've been doing this
for 20 years.
Yes, they know what's going on. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our listener question show here on a Wednesday. Thank you for sending in those questions. Keep those coming to Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. And a shout out to everybody on our BeLive.TV channel for helping us out with the answers. We appreciate that. And we hope more folks will join us next Monday at approximately 6:30 Eastern. And we'll have some more fun here on the video chat as we record the audio podcast at the same time. Today's show, of course, brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. So, Ricky, what are we reading about this week? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what's in the news this week when it comes to Theme Park News, Disney Edition?
You
ask
me this question every stupid week. You'd think
you should
I
know
would
it's
be
coming.
Ready.
I know. Yeah. So what's going on?
I know. Gosh. Okay. So I'm going to tell you about some really great new treats that have debuted at the Taste Track kiosk.
I've seen those this weekend. People posting pictures of those. They're crazy looking.
They look so good. Okay, this kiosk is located near Test Track at Epcot, and they are ice cream sundaes. And they include the Berry Explosion Sundae, which includes vanilla ice cream layered with berries and pound cake, topped with whipped cream, strawberry pearls, and cotton candy. Hello. Then you have the chocolatey churro sundae, which is vanilla ice cream with hot fudge, chocolate curls, whipped cream, and yes, of course, a churro. And then the one that intrigues me the most and the one that I would really want to get is the apple pie sundae. It's vanilla ice cream with caramel sauce, whipped cream, caramel popcorn, salted caramel pearls, and of course, warm apple pie. Yes, that sounds delicious. The sundaes are $6.50 each, and Taste Track is only open for a short window of time, so you only have from 12:30 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. daily to get these new treats.
Ooh, that chocolate churro thing is going to be in my belly in a month. I can tell.
I have to say the berry explosion sounds good too, with the pound cake and the berries, and I don't know about the cotton candy. You know, that sounds pretty awesome too. When you add cotton candy, everything's better. So
this is one of those things when your kids are hitting the wall, just swing by there, you know, at like 7 o'clock before it closes, 7:15, and you know, that'll get them at least through Illuminations, give them a good sugar
Absolutely.
High for a couple hours. Yeah, exactly.
Or you. Yeah.
Or you, exactly. All right, well, you know, get other great stories like that every morning, every night before you tuck yourself in and put that device away. Just check it out. Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app sitting right there at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, give us a follow on the social media. We love hearing from our listeners. Join us over on Facebook and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. And we got a great, Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike and Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. You know where we are. We've been doing this for almost 10 years. I just can't
That's
say
right.
it. I have something wrong with me. Also, don't forget, when you are shopping online, we really appreciate it when you use our Amazon affiliate link. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you very, very much to everybody who has been doing that lately. All right, well, it's time to get out of here, and we'll be back again, of course, on Friday. We're going to talk about all the great happenings lately over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I was talking to Pam earlier this week, and one of the things, Pam, that really sits with me, and I think you are exactly right, you said you really can't argue that Disney's Hollywood Studios is a half-day park anymore. They've added much more now to really bring it up to par. So we're going to dive into that on Friday. So you came back pretty pumped about the studios, didn't you, Pam?
I am really excited about Hollywood Studios. I mean, first of all, the second they added anything Star Wars there, I was there. I was already excited. And it just continues to go that way with some of the new things. So come with us on Friday to hear us talk about all the fantastic new stuff.
That's right. All right. Well, hopefully you're having a great Wednesday. Thanks so much for checking in. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. But it's time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.